Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Samantha.
And we are so excited to have Lacey Craig on the episode today. Lacey is a business mentor and success coach for high-performing women entrepreneurs. She has her MS in mental health counseling and her MBA. She not only has been a therapist, but she's also been the director of a $45 million a year nonprofit, and she is the proud owner of two successful online businesses. And she also is the co-host of the Leading Greatly podcast. It's her mission to help other women build and grow their own service-based businesses that truly lights them up and gives them the personal and financial freedom and impact they've always desired. Welcome, Lacey. We are so excited to have you today.
Thank you both so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
You are welcome. So to get started, why don't you tell us about that kickstart moment that helped you launch those two online businesses that you have?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously for me, and probably for a lot of us, there was like a lot of little moments that led to that kickstart moment. So, you know, some of it was that I grew up in a really entrepreneurial family. I had a lot of family members that ran businesses, and I just saw that the benefit of that, I guess, or I just thought that was really cool when I was younger. I used to tell people that, you know, when I grew up, I wanted to own my own business, and they would be like, oh, and what? And I would just say, like, what do you mean and what? I just want to own my own business. So that was kind of always there, but I went the really traditional route, got some degrees, got a 9-to-5, and I would just drive to work all the time thinking, like, God, is this all there is? You know, and I got a lot of feedback that I should be really happy. I had my dream job at a really young age, and I just couldn't really figure out, like, why that felt so off for me. But I knew that I wasn't feeling fulfilled, and I was spending, like, a lot more time dealing with, like, workplace politics than creating the impact I wanted to create. So those are my little things. My big thing was that I had a pretty major ethical disagreement with our organization, and I just left out of nowhere. Like, I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a safety net. I didn't have an idea for a business. I just kind of peaced out, I guess. And, you know, that was the start of my entrepreneurial journey. And it's like they say, you know, leap and a net will appear. And that honestly is just really what happened for me. I'm not necessarily saying I would recommend that for everybody, but it was definitely my path, and it was definitely the right path for me. I look back and I'm just so thankful that I did that I had the balls to do that at the time, and that, you know, I got out of my own way and was able to make this happen.
You know, I love that you talk about leaping without the net and having it appear. What did you do after taking that leap that really helped you keep going and figure things out without the fear of falling flat on your face?
Well, to be super honest, I planned on getting another job. Like, I left and figured I would get another job. I applied for many other jobs. And what finally came down to for me is I was like, I have two master's degrees and I am not even getting an interview. The universe is telling me something and I have to listen. Like, it just became so clear to me. Like, if I wanted, like, I guarantee if I wanted to get a job at McDonald's at that point in time, like, they wouldn't have interviewed me. It was crazy. And I just realized, like, this is all happening in such a purposeful way that I had to be, like, put my faith in it, if that makes sense. Like, I sort of didn't have a choice.
Yeah, I love that you are listening to your intuition when it came to that, like, defining moment of, do I get another job and kind of go that path? Or do I just go with what I know I've wanted since I was younger? Where does your inspiration come from to kind of stay on that path of being your own boss?
Oh gosh, like, so many things have changed in my life, you know, personally and professionally from doing that. Like, I just feel like the level of fulfillment I have, I know I couldn't replicate that anywhere else. Like, I know I couldn't replicate that working in an office building or sitting in a cubicle or whatever it is. Like, I am positive that I'm where I'm meant to be, and I feel really in alignment with that all the time. Even just, like, small things. You know, like, not having the Sunday night blues where you're like, oh, I gotta get up tomorrow and go to work. Like, I never feel like that on Sunday night. I'm like, oh, it's almost Monday. I get to talk to people tomorrow, right? Like, so just for me, I'm so inspired by the small things, like not having that feeling that I used to have when I was driving to work of like, is this all there is? Like for me, like my success is based on not asking myself that question anymore. And that's what I've found in this like entrepreneurial journey.
I love that. You know, you touched on when you had the your 9-to-5 job, people saying you should be happy you have your dream job. But you also mentioned that as a young kid, your dream job was having your own business. So it's totally looking at it in the traditional versus non-traditional. And, you know, to the outside world, you had your dream job, but it really wasn't your dream job.
Exactly. Like having to like get real about that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And now you have that fulfillment because you do have your dream job and you're not questioning it every day. And I love that so much because that's the truth. And I think that's really what keeps a lot of entrepreneurs going is the sheer fact that we end up almost feeling like workaholics because we love what we do so much that it's not like, ooh, the weekend's almost here. Oh crap, Monday's coming. Like, you know, it's always just that happy day of, yay, I get to talk to people. We're almost the exact opposite of 9-to-5ers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like part of, like, it's part of my DNA now, right? Like, it's just like ingrained. It's not like this separate thing that I have to go to sometimes and put up with.
Exactly. Exactly.
What I also loved you saying too is when you kind of took this journey and you took this leap of faith into owning your own business, you really didn't have that safety net there. So what are some things that you turned to really give you that courage to stay on the path of making sure that these two, the first business that you started was successful and then taking the leap into creating the second business that you had?
So I was really lucky in that I had been a therapist previously, had gotten my master's in mental health counseling. So I really understood like the importance of mindset work and, you know, like self care kind of stuff, I guess, so to speak. It was really obvious to me that like that had to be a part of what I was doing, especially just to stay sane, right? Like in the idea of like, okay, I didn't really plan on this, but now I'm going to launch this business and see what happens. So I definitely meditated a ton. Like that's been huge for me. Quieting the mind chatter, so to speak, just giving myself that self-reflective time. I've made mindset work a daily practice for a very long time. And I think just giving myself the space to be part of that was really helpful. Like I was very intentional about like, and now it's time to like work on this part because I need to be in a place of like managing my fear in a really healthy way.
You know, that kind of leads me to want to ask one of the things we like to ask people is about a time when they've had to deal with the negative self-talk. So what are some of the things that maybe you walked yourself through or said to yourself? What was some of that internal dialogue that you might've had during those fears to get you past them?
You know, I think it was a few things. Part of it is like, I'm a very like, evidence-based person. Like I really like to look for evidence that helps me in my mindset practice. So when I looked at evidence of like, I had to quit out of nowhere, I've always wanted to do this, I can't seem to get a job, like the evidence kept stacking up for me. So I just had to be like really available to keep looking for it. And when I would kind of stray, I had to go back to that. Like the evidence is available to me that this is the path that I should be on. And that really gave me a lot of clarity. And I felt like when I wasn't honoring that, I was almost like disrespecting like the process that I was involved in. I don't know, that might sound kind of weird, but I just could see it unfolding. Like I couldn't see what was happening or where it would go, but I just really felt like I could see it unfolding. So just really staying in faith was important for me. And, you know, deciding like to get in that place of like, I create my results, right? Like, so if I want to make this business work, like I need to not be in this place where I feel victim to like, oh, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but like I create my results, you know, this is going to happen. And luckily my husband was also like a really big cheerleader of mine. So when I kind of had that moment of like, oh, what if it's not going to work? He was like really on board with being like, no, it is. Look at your evidence, check in with yourself, etc. So definitely doing my own work, but then having someone to kind of like just snap me back on track and remind me helped a lot too.
I love that.
Yeah. The fact that you so confidently just stood that path and just kept doing those daily affirmations and, you know, kept telling yourself that you create your own results really like makes you a bold leader in this industry. How has being different in the fact that you really are truly someone who stands out helped you succeed?
You know, I think, you know, there's so many benefits to that. But sometimes when you come into entrepreneurship, it can look like there's not. It can look like the more you fit the mold, the better you'll do, right? And it's really not the case, because here's what happens. Too many people start fitting the mold and you become like one in a million, right? So for me, it was like always important, and I could always like see two things, which is one, I left my job because I wasn't going to compromise my integrity. So I surely wasn't going to come into entrepreneurship and compromise my integrity. Like, that's super important for me. Two is people really are attracted to you, especially as a coach or service provider, right? Like, even if I think about small things, like when I hired my wedding photographer, like I was so much less concerned with what her pictures looked like and so much more concerned with like, is this a human I want to hang out with the entire day on like the most special day of my life, right? So I really tried to think about that from a coach perspective, is like, how do I show up as like a person first, business owner second? So then people can kind of get the feel for like, am I right for them or not? And I might not be, and I have to be okay with that, but it leads me to staying in integrity, and it makes it just easier, right? Like when you're trying to be something you're not, it's just a whole lot of work. And that's what I was doing in my 9-to-5, right? So I had to not do that here.
Oh, I love that. Integrity sounds like it's a pretty high value for you, not only in life, but in business. What are some of the other values that you kind of bring from your life that kind of spill over into your business?
Oh my gosh, integrity is like so huge, like probably to my own detriment sometimes. But yeah, so integrity, I definitely think innovation is a huge value of mine. Like I really like to be different. If I feel like I'm not being different, sometimes it gives me a little bit of anxiety. Authenticity for sure. I think, you know, that's what we need more of in this industry. And not only being authentic, but transparent, right? So like not just being authentic in the areas that I feel like make me look good, but like being more transparent in the areas where, you know, maybe I don't look so good. That's really important to me. That's important to me and people I work with, hang out with, higher life, business, whatever. Those things are huge just across the board for me.
You know, I loved how earlier you said that you want to show up as a person first and then a business person second, because I think that's one of the hardest things going from the corporate world into entrepreneurship that all of us face is we're used to like you're conditioned to type out these stuffy corporate emails and sound just so, and having to switch that and just be yourself. And it's kind of like when I look at trying to write more like me and bring in my voice to things, I always think back to what Marie Forleo always says, which is do the best friend check. Is this how you talk to your best friend? Is this who you bring to the table when you're visiting your best friend? And I love that you said that, because really that's what makes us more appealing than big brands, is showing up as a person and having that connection with our clients versus being just the business person.
Surely. And really, if you look at big brands, they're actually trying to do this, right? They're having a harder time doing it, but they're trying to do it. Like big brands are telling stories. They're trying to humanize, right? So like we have such an advantage that we actually are just the human, so we can do it a lot more easily.
Exactly. Exactly.
And one of the things I love that you bring to your business, Lacey, is your vulnerability, not just in the packages that you offer, but in your Facebook group as well. You are truly someone who just lays it out on the line and kind of lets us into your everyday life. One of the things I did want to ask you is your process when you were developing the Lit Up partnership. You were so vulnerable in being honest about how hard it was for you, not just in breaking the standards of the coaching industry and bringing us that package, but in being open and honest about how you chose the winners of it. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about your thoughts and processes and how you created a successful package in the Lit Up partnership?
Yeah, definitely. So a Lit Up partnership was where I took on coaching clients, and I had other coaches take on clients, and instead of like an upfront payment, they're just paying us 15% of the revenue that they generate during that time together. So to be really honest, when I initially had that idea, I was like, if I have three people finish, this would be awesome. This would be so good. I really was not at all expecting the turnout. So in some ways, like blessing and curse, right? It was really cool and really awesome, but I was really unprepared for like the emotional piece of that. Like, I thought I'd maybe have three people and probably like, you know, give it to them all or whatever. When we had like 76 people show up and raise their hand for that, I just kind of was like, oh wow. Like I had to really look at myself and notice that one of my triggers remains disappointing people. Right. So that was like a huge piece of my journey. Like I think I needed that to play out in that way, 'cause I had some inner work to do. Like that process was such a mirror for me on all my stuff. Right? Like, oh, I don't really like disappointing people. I get really emotionally invested and attached. Like, this is stuff to look at. But at the end of the day, like, I really am about leadership, and I knew that, like, I had to deal with my stuff on the back end, but, like, I had to show up as a leader and not give in to that stuff, right? So not try to make everyone happy or, you know, offer 70 people a coaching spot or whatever it was. So that was just such a good reflection for me. I think such a good reflection for the people that went through it too, that, like, sometimes we can show up really fully and it still doesn't work out. But then what do we do with that? Like, how do we still make it a win? That was just, gosh, one of, like, the best things I've ever done in my business, just on a personal level and on a professional level, because it forced so many things to the surface. It also showed me that, like, I was on the right track. Like, people really do want coaching. They are just not necessarily available to, you know, do it in this one singular model that we've created within this industry. So much good came from that, but it was definitely an emotional journey for me, for sure.
I love that. I love how you talk about how they want it, but for them, it doesn't fit within that one particular model. Have you taken that and used it to keep changing and innovating your packages so that they don't fit the mold?
So right now I personally have 3 clients going through the partnership process with me. And then I think we have 4 or 5 other coaches that have 1 client each. So we have 8 people that are going through that process right now. And what we're doing is, like, case studying that basically just to see if it works, right? Like, this was just an idea I had. It when I'm like, definitely wasn't like, oh, I'm 1,000% sure this will work perfectly. So I'm going to give this a chance to play out and see how it goes and see if, like, is this the right model? Do we need to tweak it? But I don't want to, like, rush into throwing all these things out there. I want to be, like, very thoughtful about this process. I also want to be a smart business owner. So in the sense of, if I changed everything right now, like, I couldn't keep innovating because I wouldn't, I would have to get a 9-to-5 if I, you know, had to start from square one where I wasn't getting regular payments. So it's kind of like that balance of wanting to be innovative, but wanting to do it in a way that, like, still, you know, allows for growth in my business, for, you know, growth so that this can become a bigger thing down the road.
And I love how you talked about towing the line between innovating and also making sure that as a business owner, you're bringing in the income that you know that you deserve, because you are being someone who had, or not being someone, but you are someone who brings value to the table. And your Facebook group knows that because they absolutely adore and love you. And I just needed to tell you that because, I mean, they literally have so much positive comments to say on all of the different prompts that you do. But because you are so loved by your group, who have been some of the biggest influencers that you've tried to at least take different things from to grow this company?
Oh, gosh. Not a lot of people know him, but I'm so obsessed with Yvon Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia. It's like outdoor ski apparel, not just ski, like everything, like outdoor apparel. Like,
I was going to say, if you opened up my husband's closet right now, it'd be Patagonia everything. So I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So I love him, like, at probably, like, to a little bit of a creepy extent. But he wrote a book called Let My People Go Surfing. And he has been hugely influential in, like, me thinking about how I run my business, in the sense that, like, he really does run a business for his employees, for his customers, not for himself. Like, he is actually very unconcerned with how much he's benefiting from it. And I think there's, like, an extreme there. And obviously he doesn't have to be now because he owns, you know, a $400 billion a year company. Mm-hmm. But the point is, like, if there's a beautiful day out, like, he invites his employees to, like, come to his beach house and go surfing, hence the title. He has, like, created daycare systems within their organization. They have, like, a workshop where they can go and play with things and tinker around and be creative. And for me, like, he's just run it from such a place of integrity, and he's still made a ton of money doing it. And that is, like, always my driver, is, like, how can I do these, like, really amazing things that feel good, give value, serve people, but also, like, be unapologetic about the fact that it's a business and I want to make money. So he's really helped me, like, see that both are so possible and available.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like almost the experience of what you're providing people matter just as much as the business side of making money for you.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's easy for me to make money, right? Is because, like, that's my priority and the money is second.
Mm-hmm.
comes because that's my priority, right? It sounds so like, not generic, but it just sounds kind of like silly to say that. Cause I feel like if I was a new business owner and heard somebody say that, I'd be like, well, that's really easy not to worry about the money if you're making a lot of it. But it's honestly true. Like if you run your business from that place, you'll be so shocked at what results come from it.
Yeah. I mean, and it makes complete sense because to be bold in this industry where there's so many cookie cutter types of coaches, to be able to bring that experience to someone and not necessarily worry about the income, it just opens you up to a whole different mindset. And then that opens you up to the revenue flow of money. So it makes sense that the experience and the people you touch on and also work with would bring that income value for you.
Totally. Like I actually, this was a long time ago, but I did a discovery call with someone and they were like, I mentioned to them like giving value or I can't even remember what I said just a while ago, but we're like, oh, well, I'm not available to do free calls or anything like that. Like I don't do that. I don't give things away for free. And I was like, oh, we're not going to be a good fit. Sorry. Because like, that's just not how I can operate. Like not that everything has to be for free, but like if that's like your place, that's cool. But that is not how I've ever operated. It's not how my clients like to operate. It's just about like, where are your values in your business? And are you working with people that match those values? Right.
It sounds a lot like because I know a lot of people get focused on the money, but it's more focusing on the people first and then the money second. So the money will come when you focus on the people, when you focus on helping them, providing them value and really taking care of them, whether it's your employees or your clients. When you focus on them, the money just naturally comes. And that's why it's so much better to focus on the people. And why giving that free stuff actually works.
Definitely.
It helps them get to know you and understand that you're actually somebody they want to work
with. And that I totally agree with too, right? Like, so we're not a business like Patagonia where like somebody can go try my shirt on in the store and decide if it fits or not. They need to try me on, right? Mm-hmm. And if I decide I'm not available for that, well, then I like really shut the door to a lot of possibility.
Yeah, definitely. I love that comparison.
Also, one of the things that you kind of bring to not just your Facebook group, but your business is the sense that you are extremely bold in how you bring things about. What I love too is that you are not afraid to show others that you are willing to invest in yourself and in your business. What's some advice that you can give to maybe some entrepreneurs who are just starting out that are maybe a little bit terrified of investing in themselves because they don't have that cash flow yet? But they could maybe have something to look forward to down the line.
Definitely. So I had mentioned earlier that I came from a family of entrepreneurs, right? And like they were building, I mean, it was my grandmother built like 5 businesses. Like what was he doing? He was like going to the bank, taking out a loan, working his butt off for a couple years and then seeing a return on that investment, right? So that was really normal for me, I guess, if that makes sense. Like it was always very obvious to me, like you had to spend money to make money. And then I also got my MBA and it's really the same thing there. Like most, when we're talking like business school, we're talking about like larger scale businesses. A lot of the time, those businesses are all spending a lot of money to make money. So for me, like I think I was lucky, I guess, in the sense that that was never like a huge stumbling block for me. Like it was very obvious to me that that's actually how this thing works, right? And that you have to believe it. So what I would tell most people is if you're not at that point yet where you really believe you can make it work, don't spend money yet. Like work through some of that or maybe spend money on some coaching around that piece. But when you're in the place of like, I'm in, like I'm game, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make it work, it's easy to invest because you know you're going to make it back or you know you're going to make it worth your while. I think when people lose out on their investment is when they invest expecting someone to like solve their problems or build their whole business because they don't believe in themselves or like investing to believe in someone else. That's when it gets like really tricky. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, it makes complete sense. And the fact that, you know, as a business mentor and coach, you realize that your, you know, potential clients, future clients, and present clients need to also realize that investing in themselves isn't so much to make the return on investment in the sense of money, but it's also a sense of mindset for them because it's going to help them get them to the place where they need to be as opposed to the money that needs to be coming in.
Definitely. It's both for sure. It's like, do you have that like foundational mindset in place first that like you truly believe that this is your path, right? Like that's why I was managing that fear before because I felt like this was my path. And I think that's the key for entrepreneurs is like not to never doubt yourself, not to ever have fear, but to have that like pretty intrinsic feeling that like I'm on the right path. that's when like investing is so worth it and when it comes back to you.
Definitely. I love how you, you touched on, it's not about not having the fear itself. Mm-hmm. It's more about being able to know when to listen and when to push past.
Totally. Like I always say, fear is the path, right? Like that's when like I'm scared of something, short of it being like an alligator or something, right? But when I'm scared to do something in my business, like that is almost always the path, right? Like it's not separate from the path. You don't just step over it. It in fact is the path.
Yeah. And it's just breaking through that fear to see the other side because you know there's something great. So figuring out whether you have to invest in yourself or what types of different things you need to actually do to get there is going to be the journey of what that goal ends up being. So I love that. Awesome. All right. So I think we're at a good place now to kind of wrap everything up. And since we always like to keep things fun and mix things up, we want to ask you, if you're having a dinner party and invite 5 people, living or dead, who would they be?
Ooh, living or dead. Mm-hmm. This just like shakes things up. So obviously my first one would be Yvon Chouinard because I just like fangirled over him. And so that's pretty obvious. Would love to talk to him about even more so how he's built Patagonia and that brand because again, like innovation, right? So my next choice would be Elon Musk, innovation. Like I'm so fascinated by humans that are like doing it differently and innovating, which is exactly why you guys are doing this podcast, right? So I'm sure you're totally on board with me. I really love Sarah Blakely, Spanx, right? Like, cause I think she just really has broken the mold and her story is one of like just being so certain of her path too, even though like stuff kept getting in her way. Living or dead? I'm just going to go with living because I'm going to get too far down the rabbit hole here. So I love Mike Dooley. So I would definitely invite Mike Dooley. His book, Leveraging the Universe, is so good, has been so much a part of my journey. I just love him. I love my notes from the universe every day and would just be so into picking his brain. Elon Musk, Yvon Chouinard, Sarah Blakely, Mike Dooley. Who is my fifth one? This is so intense. I think like maybe Deepak Chopra. I love his meditations. I listen, that's how I meditate every day with his meditations. And I just think he really straddles the fence for me. And the fact that I feel like he's built this really amazing business and he's been so smart about how he's like marketed himself, the products he puts out, how he shows up. But he's also just this like deeply spiritual human. So I'm like really interested in that like dichotomy of like, I feel like he's just great at both things. So I think he would be my fifth person.
That's a well-rounded table. And I think we all would probably, if you ever got them at a dinner party, please invite us because I would just
hashtag goals.
Yes, totally. I was actually just watching a video by Sarah where she actually talked about how one of her family's things was to celebrate their failures. Like her dad always asked her, what did you fail at today? And he'd be disappointed if she didn't fail at something because it meant she hadn't tried. And I was like, I love that mindset around failures. It's a big one for me. So I love that she would be there. She'd probably be the person I'd be talking her ear off the whole time at that dinner party.
Yeah. And like, look at what that has done for her as a person, right? Like that permission to fail is just so amazing and so beautiful to grant to, you know, your children or to others. I think that's great.
I love it.
Yeah. And the fact that, I mean, you said it before, fear really is going to be there no matter what as an entrepreneur and failure is going to happen. So it's just breaking through that in order to get to the other side. So she would definitely be someone we all would enjoy being around a table with.
Definitely.
So before we end, why don't you tell our lovely listeners where they can find you, whether it's your website, social media accounts, or anything that you want to give them?
Yeah, definitely. So my company is called A Lit Up Life. So you can find me at alitoplife.com and definitely always in my Facebook group. It's called the Lit Up and Loaded Entrepreneur. So I'm super happy to have new people in there as well.
Awesome. And you guys can go to the website of beautifullyboldpodcast.com to learn more about this episode, have the show notes and resources available for you guys. So thank you so much, Lacey, for being on this show. And we hope that this episode is going to help you lead beautifully and boldly in your business.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com. Thank you.